needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The Blind Tag, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, WLW Studios Midnight Jury and After Midnight, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, Two and a Half Wrestlers featuring the Pat Buck Show and the Bro Show, and the Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Umesi, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle Throwback Radio, Rant EM Radio. Oh, yeah!
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
In the battle royal, perhaps an underdog in this title bout.
Well, I have to respect my intelligence because I predicted that one of the smaller men, not that 240 pounds is small, would come out the victor in the battle royal. Now, Mad Dog Vashon, you stand up here and you epitomize the lowest elements of humanity. You talk about coming out of garbage cans and you've got something to be thankful and grateful on this day. And this is the opportunity of your lifetime. I want you to know something. I am very grateful, but then I worked very hard for what I have. I've maintained it. I've represented the heavyweight championship of the world with the class and the dignity that it deserves. Now, there's one thing about the human animal. If it has class, it has it. If it doesn't, you cannot give it to them. And as far as you are concerned, you cannot come to my level of class and sophistication. You cannot come to my wrestling ability, but I can see that the human animal has always been able to go down the ladder, back, retrogress, into the gutter. And I hate to say it, but on Thanksgiving Day, I guess that's exactly where we're going to have to go and see what kind of bones and carcass is going to be left over, because we're going to have to scrap and kick and bite and scratch. I, the heavyweight champion of the world, the most sophisticated and respected athlete in our sport, will have to, for one day, get down at your level. It'll be a very denigrating day, but I have every intention of coming out of this the heavyweight champion of the world.
You know, Nick Bockwinkel, it's just possibly conceivable that all of us on Thanksgiving have a lot to be thankful for, past, present, and future.
Well, I'm going to change the course of history. Thanksgiving night, we're not going to have turkey. We're going to have dog. And you know how you prepare dog? Well, you don't put cranberries to it. You don't put stuffings to it. You put the boots to it. So when the dog's down there on the mat and he's getting his teeth kicked out, both of them, and he's rolling around in pain, he's going to know he's in the ring with the heavyweight champion of the world. Now for the question of the day. How's the Vikings going to blow it today, huh? Figure that one out. The same as Vashon. They're outclassed.
Yeah, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. This be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, the Blue Collar Scholar, Mr. Phil Rea, and I'm finally joined by
the Mega Powers.
We are live, David.
We're live.
That's right. Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network Productions. On your Roku, your PlayStation, your Xbox, your sister's A-Track, your brother's iPod, TuneIn, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Forget about it. It's all over the place. How are you, sir?
Oh, my God. I don't know how I'm awake right now, but I am.
It has been one of those weeks, and I'm feeling that, too. I think it's the weather, too, man. The weather's trying to change. It's not changing very well. Like, it was still 70 degrees a couple of days ago. Like, fucking
no. I don't mind that. That works for me.
Yeah, it works for you, but your body actually adjusts to the equinox, you know what I'm saying? And when it's off whack and Mother Nature's a whore, I don't care how in shape you are, it'll take a toll on you, man.
That's true. When the weather does change, especially like from like very cold to very hot, your immunity's gonna drop.
Pretty much.
Luckily, that hasn't happened to me yet.
Well, but yeah, thank goodness.
I've been working like 13-hour days. I don't know how many hours everybody else is working, but it's taking its toll on me. And I have so much caffeine in my system right now.
Dude, it took me 3 hours to get home last night after working a 10-hour shift.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, they decided to close one of the lanes off in the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel on my bus route home last night. So I left 57th and Lex at 8:30. I didn't get home till after 11.
Wow.
So let's just say an hour and a half fucking bus ride, hour and change, turns into 3 hours. I was very, very tight, so... Nice way to end
last
your work.
Last night, it was raining cats and dogs.
Yeah, if you were here in the Northeast, we got about maybe a little less than 2 inches of rain in like, I don't know, 8 hours.
Something like that.
It was like Florida. Now in Florida, it rains for like 10 minutes and then it stops. Well, it rained for 8 hours here and it was like Dave said, cats and dogs. So, but we made it through. It is the weekend. We are a week away from Thanksgiving. Speaking of Thanksgiving, a couple of programming notes for you. This Sunday, join us live, seriously live, for the coverage of the WWE Survivor Series, November 22nd at 7 p.m. In studio, along via, you know, Skype and Rant with AA, Tony C, and Surfer, in this studio here in the Decadome, it's myself, the Mega Powers, the co-host of Freaks and Effing Geeks, the man himself, Mr. Rage. We're going to have Rob Domingo from the Thumbstick Ninjas.
Yes, the Mandingo, Rob Domingo.
The Mandingo, Rob Domingo will be joining us. And our boy Choppy.
Choppy's going to be in.
Choppy's coming through, man. So it's going to be a fucking loaded show. A panel of all-stars, if you will, in their own right. We're going to be adding some class. And we're going to be adding some...
Sass,
yeah. And we're going to be adding some expertise to the panel of... Survivor Series rundown for the big pay-per-view coming up this Sunday, November 22nd. Mm. Don't forget tomorrow night, 11 p.m. on Rant EM Radio. You got Mr. Will I Am Morgan with the the Wrestling Call-In Show, and then Sunday before the pre-show of Survivor Series, 5 p.m. Surfer and Jordan Cobb for the What Are You Reading comic book show. And I know Shining Wizards dropped a new episode this week. And the Midnight Jury just put out one. Sydney Chadwick is doing the Titanic, so I can't wait to listen to that. So that's actually a good movie. What else do I have to plug? Anything else? Oh, yes. Talk Brunch. Going live this coming Monday, I believe it is. 11, yeah, right after Raw. So it's going to be with AA, November 23rd, 11:30. They're going to be going live for the first time. So check them out, please. I know a lot of you guys listen to Don Tony and Kevin Castle after Raw, and I do too. But I want to show Rick and McWrestling some love, so please give them a listen. They're good guys, and the show is really, really, really good if you haven't listened to it yet. And I think that's it. And I guess I'll plug everything else at the end of the show. What has been going on with you, Mr. I can't come on a show for 2 weeks in a row?
Oh, my God. Just doing stuff with the New York Korean Film Festival. I don't even remember what the hell I did the previous week. I'm so, like...
You did the Korean thing, and last week you did the Lucha thing. How'd the Lucha thing work out?
Oh, the Lucha thing. Yeah, that was really good. A friend of mine that was actually helping with the New York Korean Film Festival, she's doing PR for them, was also doing PR for the film Lucha Mexico.
Okay.
Which is a documentary on Lucha Libre, with the main focus being on John Strongman Anderson, who some of you might remember from Muscle Symphony from New Japan. It was a tag team with him and Nakanishi, two big dudes who could hardly move.
Big slabs, and, big slabs of beef, as David
yeah,
I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, absolutely. And the focus was on him and Shocker. And
Mexico Shocker?
Yeah.
I know that dude.
Yeah, yeah. And they were both in attendance. Fortunately, I had to leave before the film ended because some buddies of mine from the New York punk band P-Lander Z had a documentary on them playing down over at IFC Center. So I had to like jump from place to place because I didn't know this until I was at the Korean Film Festival that there was like this big documentary film festival called Doc NYC, and they had some like really good stuff. I didn't really get to partake too much because I had other stuff to handle at home, but I got to, you know, watch most of Lucha Mexico, extremely good, and I got to see the P-Lander Z documentary called Mad Tiger, which if you are a wrestling fan, you'll know Mad Tiger is the fake name of Tiger Jeet Singh in Fire Pro Wrestling, the video game.
Fire Pro Wrestling was the shit. I had that on the original PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So what's it called? The documentary is pretty good. It's a bit like all over the place because they had so many great, you know, different like characters in the movie. Like Blue Demon Jr. was in it for a bit. There was this one dude named Fabian. Who they focused on as well, who I guess while they were filming it passed away. So it was pretty wild movie. And oh my God, I can't remember what the name of the fucking midget is, the CMLL mascot. I wrote it down because I knew I was going to forget. but he was a subject from the film. Kemonito is the name of the character. He's the mascot for CMLL, and he's like this Mexican mini who is in like in a little like neon gorilla costume. And you know, never really like thought too much about.
Yeah, Kemonito, right? His name is.
Yeah, Kemonito.
Right. Okay, I know who that is too.
Yeah, and you know, I never minis are such like a staple of Lucha Libre, you know, unlike, you know, America where, you know, midget wrestling is just like shitty. Who gives a fuck about it?
No, it's not really an attraction in Mexico. It's actually a legit weight class, and they have titles and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and they're entertaining as hell. And part of the documentary focused on him for a little bit, you know, part of the pun. But, you know, I never thought of like how much punishment those guys take, because they'll interact a lot with, you know, the actual, you know, I guess regular sized people, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And they showed him just like getting like thrown around by dudes, getting like drop kicked in the most like stiff manner. And the guy's like kind of running down like all the injuries he's sustained over the years. And it's like, damn, like this little gorilla guy is, you know, he's got some broken bones and, you know, broken ribs and, you know, just like the regular guy. So it was really cool. I wish I could have stayed around for the Q&A, which happened after the film. But My friend got to get me to meet the you know the filmmakers, so I got to you know chat with them, and
yeah, we'll get them on.
They
show.
Were curious about our show, so whenever they come around again, from what I was being told, like the film is going to be screening again in the area. So
oh, cool!
Try to get them on the show.
Definitely check that out. You know,
yeah, it was really cool talking with them, and you know, just bullshitting about wrestling and all that. So that was really cool.
I haven't been hot on Lucha in a while. I dated a girl in the 90s. I think I told the story on the air already. Her mom was from Nicaragua. Her dad was from Ecuador. Her brother's in the bass player, Madball. Shout out to Hoya, by the way. I talked to him recently. But her mom knew I liked wrestling, and she would translate some of the Lucha storylines for me. Like, I knew who all the players were.
Yeah,
from the Aptamags, but I didn't know what the hell they were saying. So she would translate what was going on, you know. So I should really there's a fanzine out there that has like all the stuff. I want to get back into it, man. I enjoy Lucha, man. It's a good, you know, and I like Lucha Underground too. So
yeah, you know, it's a really good show. It's just, well, for me at least, it's just hard to, you know, make the time to watch all this great stuff that's happening. And especially a show like Lucha Underground. Like, I'll admit, I've only seen one episode, but that one episode was so fucking good. It was the one with the coffin match.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Undertaker, who's celebrating his 25th anniversary as being the Undertaker this coming weekend, you know, is the, you know, I guess, Dusty Rhodes is technically the innovator of the coffin match.
Right.
But everybody fondly remembers, you know, the Undertaker as, you know, had, the master of this match.
Dusty had it with Kabuki, right?
No, Ivan Koloff.
Ivan Koloff, right. You're right. Yes. Thank you.
But I don't even remember who the guys were, but, man, they made this match so fucking good. Like,
yeah, those guys
were throwing the coffin around. They were, you know, just doing everything imaginable, you know, with the coffin as, like, a legit weapon. And they were all over the arena, and it's like, how can you top that? Can't.
Top notch, man.
So so that was cool. Speaking of films, I got to check out Spectre this past Monday.
I'm dying to see that. Any good?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, good.
I know a lot of people are like, it's not really getting like as much buzz as Skyfall was, but I gotta admit, when I saw Skyfall back in 2012, I was not impressed at all. Like, with the exception of the cinematography for Skyfall is just like out of this world. It's like every scene is like a painting. But you know, for the amount of talent that they had in Skyfall, and the story that they had for that film, it just fucking sucked. And I'm a huge, you know, Bond fan. You know, of course, like the gold standard is always going to be the Connery films. Which, you know, yeah, in my eyes, it's always going to be, you know, tough to top.
Right, and I grew up, my friend just gave me the box set of every one of them up until Skyfall.
Okay,
so cool. I'm gonna back them up and make them MP4s. I grew up with the Roger Moore stuff.
Yeah.
I like, of course, I loved, the only Bond I didn't like too much was Timothy Dalton. Like, Living Daylight.
Yeah, he's kind of a hard sell.
Yeah, I didn't, like, dislike the movies, because I liked all the movies. I just didn't like him personally. But, I mean, there's nothing...
Well, he mainly plays villains in movies, so it's kind of strange to see him as like a Bond.
That's true, too. I just didn't feel him. This is Daniel Craig's last one, though, I think, right? He's not doing it no more. So I'm trying to see...
The word on the streets is that this is his last one.
I heard they might use a brother for the next Bond. That might be pretty dope.
We'll see how it goes.
There's some British black dude they were talking to. I hope they do that, man.
As long as he's good.
As long as the gadgets and the pussy and the cars are in it, I don't care about anything else.
As long as it's good. Like, I know, you know, for me, you know, as much as I love James Bond, like, these movies are very one dimensional. They're not really going to be like, as you know, they're not going to be deep.
Not at all.
No. Like, not at all. Probably like the last like deep Bond was, in my opinion, maybe on Her Majesty's Secret Service, you know, when Bond actually gets married and Yeah, I'm not gonna get. If you haven't seen granted, the film is old as shit, but I'm not gonna give away the ending.
Idris Elba, that's right, Passes the Dell. That's the guy.
Yeah. So
might be him.
But what's his name? Batista was pretty good in the movie.
I heard Don Tony played his interview. Somebody interviewed him for the movie, and they asked him about wrestling and stuff like that. And you know, Batista, I never had a problem with Batista. I always had a problem with how they booked him. I really didn't dislike him in the ring. You know,
I really didn't appreciate him until WrestleMania 21 when he beat Triple H. But then even after that, like, I kind of got bored with him quick because he doesn't really work. You know, kind of like what you're alluding to. He doesn't really work too well as a face.
That's what he complained about in the interview.
You know, I'm sure the guy in person, you know, just from hearing him talk, he sounds like a cool, you know, like a cool guy to know.
Yeah.
But you know, as a wrestler, you know, the guy works so much better as a heel. He's much more convincing as a heel. People just kind of like, you know, as a character on television, people just want to fucking hate this guy for whatever reason. Like, I feel like as a babyface, for me at least, he's just too bland, and you know, there's nothing really that kind of catches your eye about this guy. You know, as being a face.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but he complained in the interview about him bringing him back in the way he was being portrayed. He didn't like it. He'd rather be a bad guy, and he said that like you know, candidly. So.
Yeah, I remember even what was it, the WrestleMania 30, press conference, where whoever the hell was in attendance, I don't know if it was only press or if fans were allowed in, but it was dead silent. Bryan Daniel, whatever. I remember when he was talking, like the audience in attendance was dead silent. Hogan came out. Again, everybody was just silent. But when Batista came out there, just, you know, and he kind of was like speaking his mind, you know, that really, you know, got a reaction, you know, from the people there. So I don't know. Like, I feel like really nobody really gave much a shit about him, especially didn't he like win the Rumble, and everybody was livid over that. And
yeah. But I mean, again, it's a lot of guys I were like that back in the day too. Like, you know, you didn't mind their stuff in the ring, just the way they were booked.
Yeah,
and I think that's what fans can't differentiate. The new fans, anyway, and I'm sorry I'm shitting on you guys, but your ADHD mentality is just annoying me at this point because I'm getting old. But, you know, there's a difference between the character and the guy who portrays him, and, you know, I mentioned that on the show a few times. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked the I'm going to go check out Spectre as well. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, speaking of ADHD, you know, it's the violence in the film makes more sense than I would say like a Skyfall or even Casino Royale. It's not like over the top. Well, there are some, you know, of course there's going to be some moments that are just like over the top, but it's not like completely like unbelievable. Like how the fuck is this guy still alive? You know, kind of deal. It's, you know, it's within the realm of comprehension. I remember, well, I saw it on a Monday night, so I'm not expecting too many people to be in there, which was kind of my, like, my aim. I was trying to go to like the latest screening possible so there would be the least amount of people there, and I got my wish. And actually I think there's like people that walked out because it, you know, it's a pretty long film. It's like 2.5 hours. There's a story that you can actually follow, and you know, it's pretty good. Like if you can actually, you know, comprehend what's going on without having to have something like insane, you know, batshit crazy happen within every few seconds, you'll be good. And, you know, for me, it's a perfect blend of the new and old Bond, and you get to see Batista doing some pretty decent acting.
Yeah. All right, cool. I mean, I'm excited. I can't wait to see it. All right. Yeah. Let's get to some news. Say hello to everybody in the chat room. A man, Rick Darrow from Talk Brunch is in there. Pastor Sadell is in there. And everybody else is anonymous. Okay.
Yeah.
A day after, I think a day or two after last week's show, Nick Bockwinkel passed away.
He was
sick though for a while. I think he had Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, one of those.
He was knocking on death's door.
81 years old, I think he was, 82, 81. Here's the thing. Wow. Here's the thing too. Nick Bockwinkel gets no love. He got no love because the AWA was not recognized everywhere like it should have been. You know, I know Vern, and we spoke, Dave and I spoke about Vern Gagne in length a couple months ago. And, you know, when the territory started breaking up and Vince started monopolizing shit and people started making, like, you know, Texas had their own champion, Midwest had their own champion, Mid-South, you know, of course, and then the Twin Cities, Minnesota, and all that and up there in Canada, in that part of the world, Winnipeg, was Vern Gagne. And, you know, Nick Bockwinkel was the catalyst, man. He was the man. He was the one who put Hogan over. And when he was going to put Hogan over again, Hogan left. Or that's how the story's supposed to go. But he was such a good wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, Nick Bockwinkel was the man. His stuff with Henning was great. Him and Ray Stevens were a tag team, were a phenomenal tag team. Him and Larry Zbysko. I can go on.
Him with anybody.
Yeah, him and Martel. Like, just... He looked the part. He acted the part. And if it wasn't for Bobby Heenan, Bobby wouldn't have been the brain.
Yeah.
So he put Bobby Heenan on the map.
Not only that, but he didn't even need Heenan. He was great on his own.
You guys heard the Low Elements of Humanity promo I played tonight. If you're listening to the beginning of the show. Nick Bockwinkel gets no love on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. He gets love all the time. And Dave, it's funny, Dave, because you and I, like, you know, off mic, we speak a lot about these guys.
Yeah,
you know, especially guys like Bockwinkel and other guys that we finally got to bring up. Yeah, past those suits, he was a player. Yeah. Like, he was a player. Like, he dressed the part. He was like the Ric Flair of that part of the world, of the Midwest.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah, dude, he was all about it with those tinted shades and the fucking Magnum PI double breasted suit jacket. Like, he was all about it. He was all about, and I loved his stuff in the ring. This is a bad year for wrestlers dying, man. This is terrible.
You're dropping
like flies.
But hey, you know, 82 years old.
Yeah, he lived a good life. It wasn't tragic, you know. Yeah. It's just weird that the same, you know, he died the same year as one of his mentors, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the only one that died way too soon. Well, I guess Piper and Dusty they weren't ready to go yet, but they were getting up there in age. It's just sad, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Couple of news items I want to get into. Austin Aries was at NXT the other night.
Supposedly with AJ Styles.
Well, here's the thing. Gunnar and Austin Aries were a lock. The AJ Styles thing I heard was photoshopped.
Oh, really?
I heard. I don't know how true this is. Like, an AJ Styles.
Well, you know that photo kind of looked like the Bigfoot photo. So yeah.
AJ Styles, and I mentioned this on the show last week. I don't know if you listened. Last week, AJ Styles has a title shot at Wrestle Kingdom. Against
the Intercontinental title.
Against Nakamura, yeah. So
actually, I got the Pro Wrest Weekly issue with them on the cover. So yeah,
cool. Yeah, well,
I got to post. I've been getting a bunch of those magazines recently, but I've just been so busy. I haven't had any time to really post any of the photos. So expect some photos up on the Facebook page on Turnbuckle Throwbacks Facebook.
Yeah, go follow that, man. So they were at NXT. I don't know what the deal is with that. I know they used Tommaso Ciampa at a taping again this week. I think both of those guys were backstage.
Yeah, they've been off TV for a bit.
Yeah, they're doing some stuff. They're rearranging. They signed a Mexican guy.
La Sombra.
La Sombra, yeah. They signed him. And Triple H was tweeting that all week. Good for him.
I haven't seen La Sombra wrestle in a while. Like, I think maybe the last time I saw him was maybe... New Japan's Best of Super Juniors. I remember seeing him live at King of Trios back in 2008.
Yeah.
I remember Shiny Wizards Kevin was asking me, like, oh, you know, how is he? Like, honestly, like, I haven't seen him wrestle in so long. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I totally forgot. I mean, I saw his character. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy. Like, I really never, like, watched any of his stuff in length, you know?
Yeah, but they're making a, you know, they're making a big deal about him, so.
Well, yeah, he is a big deal, though. He's pretty, apparently he's pretty talented. So, well, again, this Triple H, you know, cherry picking again, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't blame him for cherry picking, and, you know, during the week, I saw a photo of him handing his mask over to Atlantis, who's huge legend over in Mexico.
Yep.
So, so that's a pretty big deal. So, to my understanding, he's not going to be wrestling with the mask. All right. So we'll see a maskless La Sombra in NXT.
He's got he's got like a long name too. So I'm sure they'll cut that down.
Yeah, you know, typical Mexican. They got like 10 last names.
Where's my bell? There it is. Hold on.
Sure, Dan Lopez has like another 12 after Lopez, but
yeah, Dan's got new stuff out too, I think, or was the same one from last week. But yeah, go check that out too on a Midnight Jerry feed. All right,
fuck Dan Lopez.
Anyway, I don't want to give predictions because we're gonna give them on Sunday. Would you want to run down the Survivor Series card real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do that. Where's my notes here? There we go. Thank you very
much. Probably have 100% accuracy on.
Yeah, no, we're good. We're good. Tyler Breeze fighting Ziggles. Taker and Kane. Yeah. Whatever.
I'll probably get to Breeze.
We're not giving predictions, though. We're going to wait till Sunday, right?
Oh, all right.
I don't want to wait. I want to wait till Sunday because then, you know, people are going to make them sweat it out.
All right. Well, you got one out of me.
All right. Taker and Kane are fighting two members of the Wyatt family. There's a to-be-announced traditional 5-on-5. Thank you very much. At least they kept one fucking some elimination 5-on-5 in there. Paige versus Charlotte for the Divas title. Tournament semifinals match 1: Roman Reigns versus ADR. Semifinals match number 2: Ambrose versus Kevin Owens. All those matches are going to be good.
Yeah,
all of them. And then the finals will be Owens or Dean Ambrose versus Roman Reigns or Del Rio. Obviously. You know, we'll talk about it on Sunday a little. But I guess we could talk about it a little bit now. The tournament is pretty predictable in terms of who we think's gonna win. Everybody has like the same brackets. I'm just hoping for some kind of swerve. I know you are too.
Yeah, of course.
So,
hey man, you know,
it's what keeps
this interesting for
us.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely, especially at our age. On paper. This looks like a decent card.
Yeah.
On paper. We've said that a million times. On paper, then it's, you know, then becomes
shit. You know, WWE, for the longest time, has had the top talent in the entire industry. Doesn't mean that, you know, the events are going to be 5 stars. It doesn't mean shit. But we'll see how things go for Survivor Series.
All right. Let's talk about Ring of Honor and TNA moving to different networks. We'll start with TNA first. Dixie announced yesterday that they're moving to Pop TV, which I never even heard that existed. It's probably... Yeah, I don't even know.
Neither have I. I don't have cable, so...
Yeah, I don't even know if I have it. But here's what pisses me off even more. Both these shows, Ring of Honor and TNA, are leaving Destination America. No shit.
Destination somewhere else.
Like I said, final destination. Ring of Honor is going to Comet TV, which is like a spinoff of the Sci-Fi channel. Now, the significance of this is that Phil's pissed, A, that he doesn't have it. Or apparently, according to Fios, I do, but I can't fucking find it because I don't think the channel even debuted yet. I think it debuts next month. Number one. Number two, like, it's part of Sinclair. And obviously, Sinclair Broadcasting, we all know Sinclair owns Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
But this is just like, you couldn't pick another network. Like, they have like 20 fucking TV stations in the country. Sinclair does. You know? Listen, it's either shit or get off the pot. The Fed has been solid for 15 years. Ring of Honor has never had a fall off. It's been the same kind of thing. even like production wise, it got a little better production wise, but like it's the same wrestling, it's the same rules, it's the same, and the talent's always good, in and out, in and out, in and out. Young Bucks signed there exclusively. I think I announced that on one of the shows a week ago, last week, 2 weeks ago. But like, come on, man. It's just like it annoys me that wrestling is not mainstream anymore. Like I want to see this on like fucking Fox or Fox Sports or you know, something like that. Put it back on Spike. Do something, like give it some more exposure, you know? I guess it's because it's not mainstream anymore. And I mean I'm answering my own question. I'm just pissed off that it's happening like that, you know?
Well, hey man, you know, there's, you know, everything's in competition with everything, you know. There's, you know, I'm in Manhattan quite a bit. So are you. It's like when you just like walk down the street, you're just bombarded with all these different kind of advertisements. And, you know, I see there's like a lot of like, there's like tons of like YouTube advertisements. There's all these different personalities on YouTube. They have millions of subscribers. I don't know who the fuck these people are. Don't know why they're significant in any way, shape, or form. While at the same time, you know, the mainstream, you know, still has its like tentacles, you know, wrapped around the, you know, the country. So I, you know, it just feels like everything is just kind of pulling, you know, everybody in every kind of direction. You know, for somebody like me who doesn't really watch television, I don't really spend too much time, you know, on the internet outside of, you know, Facebook. And but still, like I'm aware of everything that's going on. I, like, if there's like a television show that's hot, I know about it. And, you know, I'll probably know some of the characters' names or something like that without seeing anything. It's like that. It's that like in your face. So I, you know, I feel for professional wrestling at this point, like everybody's been a professional wrestling fan at some point in their life. And they're aware it's still around. WWE is still, you know, like a name brand. It's still on television. People still dress up like the characters, everything like that. So, yeah, I just feel like for stuff like Lucha Underground or Ring of Honor or TNA or whatever, they'll still be around, but, you know, they just have to compete literally with everything else.
I get the competition, partner. Yeah. What I'm saying is, like, here's the deal. You get these stations, right, that don't have a lot of, let's say, like Pop TV. They don't have a lot of original programming, you know?
Is it like Beverly Hills 90210?
Right. Like they're just like old fucking 90s shows and 80s shows. Like, I get that. We have locally here, WPIX, they have an affiliate channel called Antenna. I watch that every single night. My wife is watching it right now as we speak. Good Times, Jeffersons, All in the Family, one day at a time. They're bringing back the Johnny Carson show, like stupid shit. And like Mr. Ed, Donna Reed, you know, Hazel, all this other crazy shit from the 60s too. Dennis the Menace. However.
Maud.
Yeah, right, Maud. Right, but they're not going to put Ring of Honor on there, obviously, you know, but like, and like, for somebody like Spike, who does Bellator, who's done wrestling, done MMA, did boxing, kickboxing, you know, you're showing reruns of Cops, you know, you're not really showing anything original anymore, you know, you're showing like, everybody's in that retro mode. Yeah. Every channel you look at, and I don't watch a lot of regular TV, dude, I don't. You know me. I watch live sports, cooking shows, and fucking old television shows, and ESPN and all the sports shit. That's all I do.
Yeah.
And wrestling, obviously, but I don't watch anything else. But when I do try to go through the channels, it's all like either reality shows or they're bringing back old programming. So if you're a network who wants to show some kind of entertainment, like in sports, and you don't have you don't have the MMA thing on lock, give a shot on wrestling, man. You know, and apparently Dixie Carter is not buying time on this, apparently. She's not paying for it. They're flipping the bill.
Really?
So for everybody who's praying for their demise, you know, again, there's another year they're going on. So, you know.
You know, I always feel like TNA, like, it just, it's like,
Like fungus?
Yeah, it's like fungus. It's like, I don't know. It's just like something that's just like won't die.
And I don't want it to die. I don't want it to die. I want it to get better. I'm a wrestling fan. I'm not a fucking mark who sits in front of my keyboard and like, ooh, and everything. I tweet and text. Everything sucks because it doesn't suck. There's good in every single thing you watch on television. And if there wasn't, you wouldn't have time to entertain it and talk about it.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it as that. I don't have any other news. I do have something I want to talk about before I go to break. Do you have any other news?
I got to watch the Tenryu.
Oh, the retirement show. How was that?
Oh my God. It was like the most randomest event that I've ever seen in my life. and I love random. It was 5 hours long.
Jesus Christ.
New Japan World. They were airing it on there. I'm guessing like whatever version was on New Japan World wasn't whatever was on TV because I guess they had some sort of deal with whoever was, you know, putting out the show because it was actually under the Tenryu project.
I read that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't a New Japan original program or anything like that. And basically the entire card just featured tag matches of guys from random promotions tagging with one another. I can't even begin to start because it's literally like every guy that was on a team was wrestling from a different promotion. Like there'd be a guy from New Japan teaming with a guy from Noah, teaming with a guy from Michinoku Pro, teaming with somebody from DDT, going against somebody from Dragon Gate, going against somebody from All Japan. You know, it was so random. I can't really say that there was any like breakout matches because it was very clear that nobody was trying to steal the spotlight from the main event, which is Tenryu versus Okada. There was one point where an All Japan mainstay, what the fuck's his name? I can't even recall his name. I'm not even going to try to remember right now. I'm going to butcher the name. But anyway, there's a dude from All Japan who's having a feud with I think he's like an MMA guy who went into pro wrestling, and he challenged him to a match during the right after their tag match. And the All Japan dude said, you know, more or less like, hey, this is the focus isn't on us tonight. It's on Tenryu. So don't even bother trying to challenge me to a match here. Which I thought was pretty, it shows a lot of respect to Tenryu. And also at the same time, just kind of, who the hell says like no for a challenge on wrestling? Usually whenever they say no, it always turns into a yes anyway, you know? So I thought that was an interesting little dynamic that was going on. And as far as Okada versus Tenryu, oh my God. Tenryu is 65 years old. It can hardly move. I heard a lot of people saying that, like, this was a great match. This was not a great match whatsoever.
I heard it was terrible.
Oh, God, yeah. It was as Matt from The Shining Wizards would say, it was the drizzling shits.
The shits of the drizzling variety. And, you know, I thought for like a split second that Okada was gonna put him over.
You know, I was thinking that too.
But because maybe because he's that bad, he didn't want to make Okada look bad. Is that maybe?
The guy's got to have sense, and he definitely did because of Okada went over him that night. It was just kind of like a hard match to watch because. It was very clear from the onset of the match that Tenryu's like stamina was just wasn't there. It took him forever to stand up from being knocked down from some like the easiest kind of blows during the match. Like I think it was like a point where he just gets like punched in the beginning or drop kicked, and it's just like, just like waiting for this guy to stand up. And it's like, man, this is going to be a, rough night. And, you know, I could see, you know, in Okada's, you know, facial expression, and I'm sure with the audience too, you know, it was just kind of like, he has to have a good match with him, or just something that, that resembles, like, you know, a semblance of a back and forth kind of ordeal. And, man, like, I wouldn't, you know, I would not want to be in Okada's boots for that match, because it was very clear that, you know, he's respecting his elder, you know, which is still, you know, a staple in Japanese culture, you know, respecting your elders and, you know, not crossing the boss. And, you know, this is a pioneer of Japanese pro wrestling that he's going against. And, you know, a 39-year career. And he's got to make this dude look good. You know, I can only imagine the weight on this guy's shoulders during this match. And, you know, there's points during the match where he's just letting, you know, Tenryu stiff him with these, like, potato-like punches. And his face got fucked up. Okada's face is pretty messed up after that match. Like, he was bruising, you know, early on, you know, during this match because, hey, granted, you know, Tenryu is, like, taking, like, 2 years to stand up. But when he's, like, punching this dude, he's legit punching him. It was really sad to see him do the Enziguri, because I think he did it, you know, like almost like Shining Wizard kind of style, you know, while he was like on the mat. But the guy could barely get off of his feet.
Hence why he did it like that, probably.
Yeah. It was cool to see him try, you know, granted, you know, he could have just punched him the entire time, but he didn't. He tried to go for his signature moves. He tried to go for the Enziguri. The power bomb that he hit Okada with was particularly brutal, because I think he must have gotten him about 1 foot in the air and dropped him on the back of his neck. And to keep him stabilized, he backed himself purposely into one of the corners so he wouldn't fall back while he was pulling him up for the power bomb, which he barely pulled him up. You know, kudos to Tenryu for trying to hit his signature moves. You know, these guys, you know, worked as hard as they could to make this an entertaining match. It was very tough for somebody like me to watch this match. And but hey, you know, at the same time, you know, this is his last hurrah. And, you know, just like any, you know, big name talent from the past, like whether it's Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, whatever, you know, whenever they say they want to have one more match, they always want to have that last match with whoever's on top. And Okada's, you know, the number one guy in Japan in general. So I can completely understand why Tenryu, regardless of, you know, his condition, wants to have that match, that last match with whoever the top guy in Japan is. And probably have to give this match like a 1 star, but you know, kudos to these guys for doing what they could. I only suggest this match to people that are curious. Otherwise, you know, stick to watching some old Tenryu matches in War or SWS or WrestleMania 7.
Yeah, right. Him and the Road Warriors were 6-man when they went heel.
Yeah, yeah, in NWA.
They dropped Dusty, yeah. But, they picked
Tenryu.
Yeah,
the Tenryu in this match is a far cry from that man way back when. But hey, when you're wrestling the strong style, you're not gonna come out the same in your 60s. Like this dude could barely move. It was amazing that they even had as long as a match as they did. It's amazing that, you know, Tenryu was able to do anything that he did. But anyway, that's my review on the match.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Just to say I saw it. I know it's terrible, yeah. But you know, I have to watch it just on principle.
You're gonna cringe a little bit, but
yeah, it's not the first time we've cringed during wrestling matches, you know.
Oh God, no.
But
no.
Tenryu is he fought Flair too a bunch of times. So
yeah, I've never seen any of those matches. You know, I posted that article on our Facebook page called "No Chests Left Unchopped."
Yeah.
And there's a photo of him facing Flair
yeah.
in a WWF ring. And I'm like, oh my God. Because I know that they had a bunch of WWF title matches in Japan, but I never saw one in America. So I'm kind of curious if there's some footage. I'm sure it's probably not going to see the light of day, but I would
love
to see.
No, I'm sure they got the, what do you call it? The, what's that? The IVP video probably has it.
I know that they have all their Japanese matches, but I don't think they have anything that's inside of a WWF ring.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Pastor Dell says he's going to have to agree with you. The match sounds terrible. Just for context, it's Keanu Reeves night on Pop TV. Oh, boy. Anyway, thank you, Pastor Dell, for holding down the chat room tonight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for being our TV guide.
I am going to say something really brief, and I don't want to bring the room down, but it's been bothering me for about a week. I post something on Facebook a couple days ago. So right before that last Friday show is when all the nonsense went down with France, and the country and the rest of the world has been in disarray. You know, if you're following the news, I had to, like, go on my Facebook and, like, block a bunch of my friends and family who post this bullshit, you know, those propaganda nonsense media articles. I had to, like, just block them or unfollow them. I didn't unfriend them. But I was watching. I took a little bit of a lunch break the other day, and I'm just, you know, trolling through Facebook, and I'm on my news line and on my news feed, and I'm just watching, like, friendships dissipate. Friends, family, friends of the show. Friends who met because of our show, like, fighting from different countries, like, over this bullshit. And I was like, you know, really, here's the bottom line is no one should fault anybody for their beliefs or their stand politically, socially, economically, spiritually, any of that stuff. I don't endorse it. Dave doesn't endorse it. Anybody that we're close with in our network of friends and family and that podcast with us don't endorse it either. But certain stuff shouldn't even be put on social media for that very reason, because people misinterpret what you say. They're not from where you're from, you know. So you're gonna see things a lot differently from what they're seeing. But I watched it. Like, I had a friend, who I've known since grammar school, like first grade. And he was like, I'm going to start deleting people because if you don't believe in this and this, then you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're this, you're that. And I was like, whoa. I wanted just you guys I'm not going to preach. I'll leave that up to Pastor. But I'm going to step back and I'm going to ask everybody that's listening to me, because we touch every single part of this globe now. If you look at our downloads, we're not super popular. We don't sell T-shirts. We're not doing things that, you know, all the shows are doing. But we touch a lot of people in a lot of different places. And I know this. I see it every week. So I'm going to ask all of you who is in earshot of this and on the download, who's listening now, take a step back, breathe, and just keep that stuff to yourself. You know, it's religion and politics don't mix, not even socially in like a club or a bar or anything. I've seen it. And on social media, it's the worst. I don't want to see anybody fight over stuff that you can't control. I don't want to see anybody lose a friendship over like stuff that, you know, everybody who's made friends, it's because of this, not because of how you stand politically or socially or economically or spiritually. That's the goal is to everybody to enjoy what we're doing, because we take time out of our lives to entertain you guys. We love doing this. We love doing this. Okay? So it's mostly for the Facebook page, not for rant, the chat room, you know, stuff like that. I just want, you know, and lately I've been a spiritual guy. I mean, I went back to church 3 or 4 years ago, so I got the bug in me a little bit. And, you know, my pastor preaches a lot of that stuff too. And, you know, it's... I don't want to be that guy either. I just want to be the guy that entertains you guys, and Dave wants to entertain you. We want to give you the best of what we do. We want to have fun. We're going to say some stuff that, you know, we may piss people off, but we don't do it intentionally. It's all in good taste, all tongue-in-cheek. None of it's malicious. If you know us in real life, it's pretty much an extension of our real lives. We're not hiding anything. We're not We're not different characters. This is who we are in real life, except we're doing it for you guys 2 hours a week live and on download. So I just want you guys to enjoy life. I lost a friend the other day. He was 50-something years old. You don't know when you're going to go. You know, it just happens, okay? So, you know, live.
Yeah, and why, if you lose, if somebody loses a life and, you stop talking to somebody over a Facebook post, you know, how does that make you look?
Not just to others.
How does that make you look to yourself?
To yourself, yeah. More importantly, you know, just live like it's your last day. Love like it's your first love. And just remember what got you to the dance.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main thing. And I don't want to, like, be all preachy and shit like that. But I just want to be, I want everybody to get along. This is such a good thing that we're doing. And other shows doing it, too. I just want everybody to just get along and respect each other. We have so many wonderful and awesome people from all over the world, all over this country, that give a shit and value our opinion. And like when personal stuff was going on, they would reach out to you. And, you know, like it feels good that you have this connection to people. And you and I have made so many friends in the last 3 years. It's ridiculous. You and I met because of another podcast. So that's the thing, man. You don't know when it's going to be your time. So you take you take that brass ring and you run with it. Whatever you do in life. You know, whatever you're living for, whatever you're fighting for, just keep going. And if we can entertain you along the way, that's fantastic. Just get along. You don't have to like what they like. You don't have to love what they love. Just respect that person and respect what's going on. Because you're not from there, they're not from here, and vice versa. And they're going to see and hear things a lot differently from what you do. You know, and I don't want to name shout because, two of our guys... Well, like one guy, unfriended another guy, and a girl got involved on my family's page. In another situation, I saw like six relationships fall apart since Monday. At least, I'm not even exaggerating.
Well, let me put this out there. You know, everybody, how can I say this? You know, history, repeats. A lot of people don't like learning from the past, and you can't really change somebody's outlook on life. You can't change another person. You know, change comes within. So, you know, my advice to everybody, take it or leave it, focus on yourself. Don't worry about other people's politics. Don't worry about other people's opinions. Focus on changing yourself.
Pastor Dunn wants to know if I'm going to be his next guest speaker. Dude, if you fly me out to Missouri, I will speak at your altar any day. And I will tell everybody what I'm telling everybody now. Live like it's your last day. Love like it's your first love. And just keep it moving. You know, God doesn't like ugly. And I don't want to get too spiritual, but God doesn't like ugly. And karma is in effect. You know, it doesn't matter who you vote for every 4 years. It doesn't matter how you get down, where you're from, what tax bracket you're in. It don't matter. When your time is coming, that's it. The man comes down, takes it, and that's it. You're done. So enjoy it while you're here. There's so much to get done. We have so much to love and so much fun we want to bring to you guys. There's so many things that we like to do with you guys. So that's how I'm ending my rant tonight. So any other news before we take a quick break and get into this kick-ass throwback?
I can't think of anything else.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mega Powers is back in the fold. You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on rantemradio.com. And Lord Alfred Hayes is going to give us a promotional consideration. And we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, everyone. This is Justin Anderson, one of your hosts from the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, where each week we break down the news in the world of geek culture, entertainment, professional wrestling, sports, and music. We also give our spin on the typical top 10 lists and fan cast our own movies. That's the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher, or download from inconclusivebreakdown.libsyn.com.
In the ring! ring, out of the ring, out of control.
WWF Royal Rumble on Super NES, 16 Meg Mania.
This guy's rocking.
It's perfect.
With more WWF superstars than ever before.
Unbelievable, six men in the ring at once.
No holds barred, anything goes action.
It's a slugfest.
That's perfect.
Each wrestler specialty move.
Complete mayhem.
The Tombstone Pile.
It's out of control.
The Bonsai Drop.
Total chaos.
The perfect plex.
Oh, did you see that?
WWF Royal Rumble on Super NES.
Get it now.
Perfect.
Hey, when you're done listening to this podcast, go head on over to soundcloud.com/shellstruck-network. Listen to shows such as DJ Sportscast, Nerd Otaku, ShellPod Extra, ShellPod Theater, and the mothership, ShellPod. We're a wrestling podcast, sports podcast, pop culture podcast. Whatever you want out of podcasts, head on over to soundcloud.com/shellstruck-network. soundcloud.com/shellpod-network. Once again, that is soundcloud.com/shellpod-network.
Yes, wrestling-news.com. That's right, wrestling-news.com. Check out the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show every Monday live at 11:15, right after Monday Night Raw. Join Don, Tony, and my pal Kevin Castle as they just do it like they've been doing it for almost a decade. So check them out, wrestling-news.com. Doing it big, doing it New York style, wrestling-news.com. The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, oh yeah. Excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing. As
play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Stop now.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He
said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit him with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying,
did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Daddy is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Wax.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You
yes, Wax.
That was all so right. Disrespectful.
Nah,
I can't have you.
That's
you,
why your
you
girl's, about,
like, you
that's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever question your manhood.
Trying to help
no,
Ike.
You did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, this is Innovative Selfie, Sonny Ono, on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and it's the best information on professional wrestling.
Play that 2 weeks in a row.
There you go.
Dope. Love that.
Back when fucking Rob Zombie actually used to put out good music.
I saw Rob Zombie open for Ozzy in like 08. Was it 08? Yeah. And he had like naked women dancing in cages. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, when TNA used to have chicks in cages.
Yeah, I liked his stage show and I saw White Zombie in 94. 94, I want to say. Yeah, it had to be 94. It had to be winter of 94 because I had seen Beck on Halloween in 94 with the Reverend Horton Heaton. That winter, they toured White Zombie. So they were pretty hot at the time. So that's, I'm pretty sure it's White.
How were they back then?
No, they were good back then. They had a chick bass player. Yeah, they were good, man. They were badass. They're pretty badass. The commercial stuff, that Dracula and all that, that got a little, I mean, you knew that was coming. It wasn't, you know, Rob Zombie constantly evolved. And it wasn't, like, to the point where it was unlistenable. I think it was just, like,
It's good stuff, but it's just kind of, you know, it wasn't, like, the raw kind of rock that they were doing for White Zombie, you know?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't White Zombie. All right, we're back.
More, you know, overproduced, more slick sounding, so.
Yeah, you got studio time, finally. You know, it happens to a lot of these artists, you know? All right, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, LiveRantEMRadio.com is the place. All right, so we got a kick-ass throwback for you. We've been off our game a couple of weeks because some of the stuff I can't do without Dave. I can't do everything without Dave. You know, I have to save some stuff from him when he's commiserating with the public and he's not here.
Yeah.
So, but we had this in the works for a while. It's actually one of my favorite times. I was actually at the arena the month before this happened. Matter of fact, last week's episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, I was at the taping of that show, which initially it aired the week before the pay-per-view, but in essence it was taped in late October of that year, so I was there for that. I think it was like my second or third time at the arena at that point. But yeah, ECW, like I mentioned last week, was hot from 94 to about 90. When did they get TV? 99? 98? When did they go on the Nashville Network? I think it was 98.
I think that was like 2000.
No, it was
99, 2000.
Yeah, it was way. So from like 94, 98, it was nothing better than ECW.
Like anything that was on ECW just, you know, captured everybody's imagination.
Yeah, and I mentioned last week, like, you know, you had the new generation with WWF, and then you had Nitro, which was a month in, and you were getting. You were getting that flavor. So, you know, wrestling was buzzed. You know, it was really, really good for the time. This being no exception. November to Remember was the flagship or the WrestleMania for ECW, if that's safe to say. They didn't do, like, sort of like what TNA does for Bound for Glory towards the end of the year. November to Remember was like the go-home show for ECW. I mean, they had another match. They had another card in December, but it wasn't like November to Remember was like almost like the year-ending show, you know?
Yeah.
And this was, you know, I don't want to say it was amazing or over-the-top awesome, but it was pretty good for its time. And I don't know why this guy's calling in, but hold on. We're not taking calls right now, guys, if you know. Anyway, but it wasn't like, it was a good time for the people involved.
Yeah, I'd agree. Plus a lot of these guys were, transitioning over to, they were either coming from WCW or some of them were going to WCW.
Right.
Too, at the same time. And, this was like, for me at least, was really, I guess it was like a transitioning point because, you know, ECW at this point was, you know, moving at a very fast pace, you know, from going from Eastern Championship Wrestling, you know, from the moment Shane Douglas threw down the NWA World Heavyweight title after winning the tournament in the finals against Too Cold Scorpio, claiming that he's the new ECW World Heavyweight Champion. And, you know, at that time when they were Eastern Championship Wrestling, they were still like the Sandman was, you know, the cane wielding, beard chugging, you know, son of a bitch. You know, Raven was debuting in 94. Terry Funk was a mainstay in ECW.
Yep.
For quite a bit. Sabu was like really, you know, starting to get into the public eye. you know, a lot of change was going on, and yeah. And
it's funny because Sabu's on this card, and he was on Nitro a month before that.
Yeah, he was, like, what was it? Last month was Nitrober,
and he was on two. He was on
we
two.
Had plenty of Nitros, and Halloween Havoc '95 had Sabu,
right?
And this was his return to ECW,
right? Right. Okay, so let's get right into it, shall we?
Yes.
All right. Let me get my. You know what? Let's get my soundboard up, man. Let's do it like we did it. You throw me off my game. You're not here. I don't have my soundboard up. Normally, I have all this ready, but give me one second.
Time to shake off the cobwebs, Phil.
I know, man. I'm slacking today. Hold on one second. Where's my soundboard? Hold on. Oh man, they want you to sign in. Okay. Hold on. You sign in to use the application on this computer. Oh, hold on one second. Why do I have to sign in to get my... That's weird. Fucking Apple. I hate Apple sometimes. All right, here we go.
And now, here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
Taking it back to November 18th, 1995. Viking Hall, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 1,150 people. That's a little inaccurate because that place didn't even hold 1,000 people at that time.
Yeah.
Just trust me, I was there. I know. ECW, November to Remember. It, like I said, I was there right before this was. So I got the go home match on ECW, the go home show from ECW TV, Hardcore TV. For today, ironically, which is pretty cool. Your opening contest was a snooze fest, if you will. Quickly, it was they like to open up with two jobbers. When ECW opened up with two jobbers, that means something bad's going to happen to these guys. The Broad Street Bully, which is a dude in a fucking hockey gear, fighting Don E. Allen. Who Donnie Allen was from Eastern Championship Wrestling. He was there for the long haul. But yeah, he was one of their main players for a while before he became a jobber when they got a little big on Paulie took the book.
I was doing some research on this guy, and he was the ECW Philadelphia champion.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know that belt existed.
Right. Especially guest ring announcers, Bubba Ray Dudley. So he comes out to the ring with Sign Guy, Chubby Dudley, dances with Dudley and Big Dick. He does his let's get ready to ruh, you know, the speech impediment thing.
That was, you know, I remember when that was going down, he made his debut. You know, the Dudleys were, you know, they were around in ECW, but they didn't really, like, lift off until Bubba Ray Dudley was a member. And this, like, the whole him, like, stuttering his name was so over. The fans, like, couldn't wait for him to... say his name.
Yeah.
And throughout this entire, during this match, they were yelling, say your name.
Say your name. I was at his debut, so. Bubba gets mad, power bombs Donnie Allen and the Broadsheet Bully, and then he pins the Bully for three. This isn't a match, really. Basically, it was just to send out, like I said, two jobbers to put over the Dudleys.
Yeah.
And then they cut out the Paul Heymans in the ring. He asked for the lights to get dimmed. And when they get back on, Sabu is in the ring, like Dave mentioned. Him and Paulie have a big hug. This was Sabu's return after ECW, after he had I don't want to call it a failed spell, because he had some good matches with JL and, you know, people say
well,
he failed.
Just that, you know, it was also, you know, what was it? He was taking the bookings in Japan. And, you know, the fans of, you know, ECW just, you know, they didn't like that. And I think he took some of the bookings in Japan over the ECW bookings. That pissed off Paulie. That pissed off the fans. And, you know, he got publicly fired, you know, at one of the shows. And I think it was like oh my god, like I forgot what like the amount of time was between everything that was going on, but yeah, he was gone for quite a bit. Or was that later on? I'm trying to.
He left a couple of times, and yeah. I was trying to figure out without looking it up yesterday. You know, I don't want, you know how yeah. I hate looking at Wikipedia if I don't have to, or the Wrestle Data site that we use. But yeah, they hug and the whole crowd starts chanting "Thank you, thank you." So whatever, he's back and he fights later on. So we'll get into that in a little while. Your next match was the Mexican heavyweight champion Conan, or as Samuel would say, Conang. versus the sexiest man alive, Jason Knight. Speaking of Jason Knight, tonight Justin, his protege, Justin Credible, is having his retirement match against Tommy Dreamer. So, shout out to Justin Credible, formerly of the Shining Wizards Network. Anyway, your special guest referee is Taz. Taz was injured. He couldn't wrestle, so he's an official, right?
Yeah.
Jason starts yelling at him, talking. She calls him a monkey boy.
Yeah,
Conan quickly hits the razor's edge, or powerbomb, whatever you want to call it, and Taz does a fast count, like a 1-2-3. The match.
I wonder
like,
how much money did they pay Conan to be at this event to wrestle for 15 seconds.
Well, he was getting paid pretty lovely because if you listened last week to the show, I mentioned that Paul Lee was using him to book all the Lucha guys. So he got Psicosis and Ray Ray, and he got La Parca there. He got Hoovy, so he was doing the same thing Bischoff was doing with him. So Conan, listen, Conan made a lot of money back then. Don't get it twisted, because he was the Mexican heavyweight champion. He was like the main star of like a novella in Mexico.
Telenovela, yeah.
Right? And then he was also, he had a record deal at that point.
Yeah.
And then he also was a booker. He was booking matches for them and helping Paulie book all the luchadors in the States and Eric Bischoff. So he was doing pretty good for himself.
Yeah.
The match maybe lasted 20 seconds. So the next match is pretty funny. Stevie Richards was, at this point, he was still Raven's lackey. Fighting El Puerto Ricanio. You guys know him better as Pablo Marquez, who now runs a wrestling school in Florida.
And who's Ecuadorian.
He's Ecuadorian. He's not Puerto Rican. So he's not... El Puerto Ricanio means the Puerto Rican. He's not Puerto Rican. Dave's right. He is Ecuadorian. And Stevie Richards has a RSPW suck shirt, thus making him the first wrestling guy to poke fun at the internet.
Yeah.
Blue Meanie's in the front row. This is the debut of the Blue Meanie. So a lot of debuts tonight. Blue Meanie's in the front row. Stevie brings him in over the guardrail. And asked him to be at ringside. Hold on a second. I wrote this down. Of course, El Puerto Ricanio is not enjoying all the nonsense. He hits a plancha, top rope, lion salt, backside, and a missile drop kick. Meanie's still around, so he gets to the top, gets a tape. Stevie takes the charge because of the distraction through. And hits a powerbomb, another powerbomb, and he calls for Meanie. Meanie does a Meanie salt and misses for the first of many times. El Puerto Ricanio gets a roll-up for the two, but a Stevie kick takes his head off. Like, not for nothing. If Steve Richards did anything right at that point, it was his fucking super kick. His Stevie kick was awesome, by the way.
So was his Flock of Seagulls shirt.
Oh, he goes... Jojo, you see my shirt? And Jojo's like, Winger! Oh, look, Flock of Seagulls. I hope you got a discount on that. I love that interview. And it gets, of course, Steve Richards beats him in like 3 minutes. But yeah, you know, Steve Richards was one of those guys that, you know, he can legit wrestle, but you really didn't see it until about 97. Because he was always that lackey, you know?
Well, hey, man, you know, it wasn't really until Barely Legal where, you know, people wanted to see him in the main event. They wanted to see him, you know, get that title shot. And he was, you know, probably still is, you know, very talented dude. And, you know, it's a shame that, you know, he did the characters that he did because nobody was really going to take him seriously as a main eventer. But he totally probably could have been, you know?
So Pastor Sedell's taking notes. Thank you, Pastor. So we got Meanie in the crowd, Bubba's at the desk, and Taz is an official. That's right. A lot of firsts. Yeah. A lot of firsts here on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, November to Remember Throwback tonight. This next match is pretty cool. One of my favorite tag team Dave knows of all time is the Eliminators, Perry Saturn, John Cronus. I got some love for the Pitbulls. They fight the Pitbulls with Francine. I got a lot of love.
This is
for
a really cool match.
Yeah, I got a lot of love for the Pitbulls. I got to tell you why. Pitbull number two, rest in peace, Anthony Durante. There's a picture of me online. I think I posted it in the Throwbacks page about a year ago of him getting me in a headlock in front of the arena. We were waiting to get in. And I mentioned this a bunch of times. The wrestlers came out and hung out with you. We were waiting on because we, again, this was general admission. So the earlier you got there, the better your seat was. So we'd be out there for 3-4 hours. You know, and these wrestlers knew that, and they would come out and hang out with us. And Pitbulls were always one of those guys. Both of them would come out, shake hands, give hugs, talk to people, sign autographs. Pitbull number two was one of the nicest guys on the planet. Hands down, one of the nicest wrestlers ever. We saw him at the cheesesteak place. Yeah. He stayed at our hotel. So we would see him all weekend, you know. Nicest guy in the world. I just wanted to make. And even Francine was cool too. Before she got the boob job, she used to come in a Flyers jersey and hang out with us and sit down with us. And again, just nice fucking people, man. So I just wanted to put that out there. I have nothing. I just bought that Best of the Eliminators on DVD from Feinstein at the last PWS show that I went to. I love the Eliminators. I know they don't get a lot of love. But I think that if they would have went to the E, they would have had a bit of a run. Those guys were so good together, man. And Perry Saturn, God bless him. Perry Saturn made a name for himself with WCW, WWE. John Cronus, not so much. He had some demons. But John Cronus, for 270 pounds, one of the most athletic guys for his size. You know?
Yeah, both of these dudes, damn.
Yeah. So Perry Saturn starts off with Gary Wolf. And they both no-sell the scoop slams. Saturn hammers Wolf in the corner. Wolf comes back through and hits a thrust kick. Pitbull's throwing thrust kicks. Those guys were big. And for their size, the Pitbulls were pretty agile.
Yeah.
You know? Blind tag to Pitbull, too. He drops an elbow for the two. Cronus tags in, gets power slammed. Cronus dodges a second. And then hit the dragon suplex. Very, very cool dragon suplex, by the way. Saturn comes back in and spin kicks Pitbull number two. And then does a springboard clothesline. Back inside the ring, Saturn gets an assist on a moonsault from the top. Over the top. Perry Saturn was such
I love this spot. This was really cool.
Yeah, Perry Saturn gets an assist with the moonsault over the top rope. Cronus tags back in and hits a Cronus crunch, which is that cartwheel, whatever that thing is. And then in a back suplex for the two, right? And on a side note, there was a video in a porno catalog, right, featuring Nicole Bass beating the crap out of Cronus.
Huh.
I wish I still had it. I just, you know, I randomly thought about that while I was taking notes. Back in the ring, yeah, they were involved in some kind of porno apartment wrestling thing. I don't know. And Moppy, too, passes Adele, yes. Don't forget about Moppy. But back in the ring, Pitbull number two misses a stinger splash. They call it the. I wrote stinger splash, so you know I got to play it now, right? it's been a while. I'm sorry. He hit the splash, and he busted his elbow. Hurt his elbow at this point. Saturn hits a massive elbow for a two count, and then a super conrana from Saturn gets another two. A double flapjack on Pitbull, too. Saturn goes for a super runner again and gets super bombed. Everyone spills. Jason leg drops Pitbull, too. Gary Wolf and Cronus tag in, and Wolf cleans house like Pitbulls always do. Jason tries to hold Wolf, but screws up and gets decked. Saturn hits a sick tiger bomb on Pitbull, too. Although neither, and he gets two count, but none of them were legal in the ring. It was Cronus and the other, and Pitbull won. Then they get a heart attack over the ropes from the Pitbulls on Cronus. The guillotine, they hit the guillotine for the two. A lot of two counts in this. Saturn gets two count on Saturn, but Jason prevents the cover, and then they do a press slam on Jason. Cronus cartwheels back into to a back elbow to Pitbull 2, a spinning kick from Pitbull 2 on Cronus, and then he set him up for the super bomb with the finish at 11 minutes. So it went 11 minutes. Pretty good fucking match.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite matches of the night. Just, you know, a lot of these guys, they weren't the most precise with the delivery, you know, true to ECW standards. But man, you know, it was just like impressive just seeing them, you know, just for some of the guys' sizes, like John Cronus, the man was, you know, he had some dough on him, you know, he was a dough boy, you know, and just seeing him, you know, flip around like he does, like these guys were so fucking talented, and you know, Eliminators were you know, a staple in, I believe, like FMW, so. You know, they were another Japanese team coming to ECW to show their wares, and you know, seeing them go against the hometown boys, the Pitbulls, was just really cool. Like they had like great chemistry with one another in this match, and you know, really, you know, like I mentioned earlier, really enjoyed that you know, that leg up like moonsault onto Pitbull 1 on the outside. Over the top rope, that was fucking awesome. Super bomb by the Pitbulls was insanely over, and you know, Pitbulls, you know, at the end of the match, you know, hitting a total elimination despite them losing.
Dave, I hate to interrupt you, but our boy Otto just sent me a picture of that Nicole Bass porno.
Oh, great!
With hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Let me see this. Yeah, I'm gonna save this. Hold on. I gotta send it to you. Go ahead. Carry on.
But you know, again, like total elimination after the match. Sore losers, Eliminators hitting. You know, their finishing move, and way better than the Ascension doing it. But it was just so cool just to see these guys go at it. You know, Pitbulls. I wish. You know, they deserved a hell of a lot more than they got, you know, just out of ECW. They were super over in ECW, but never really went on to anywhere else. I would have loved to have seen these guys in Japan or elsewhere.
Yeah. Do you have your phone next to you?
Yes.
I just sent you a text message.
Oh, my God. Violence on violence.
Otto says he's full of shit. I Googled that. I don't own it.
Yeah.
You're full of shit. Otto, if you're in the chat room, I don't know if you are, can you post that picture in the chat room for us? I appreciate it. If you are, if not, then I'll just save it to my computer and I'll send it to my computer.
The Queen of Bondage, Annihilation, at it again.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Wrestling superstar John Cronus. Come on.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Anyway, so, yeah, you're so right. Both these teams, again, ECW did a really good job of showcasing a lot of good tag teams back in the day, man. You know, they had to start.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, we talked about it for Halloween Havoc with Sabu and some of those Nitros with Sabu. Like, you know, on a major, like, television show, like, the flaws were just so obvious. But, you know, watching, you know, these matches at the ECW arena, you know, nothing's, you know, polished. It's all raw. It was so much more enjoyable. Didn't have to be perfect.
Yeah. I can't stop looking at this picture. I'm sorry. But yeah, man, the Steiners, the Pitbulls, Doc and Gordy, the Harris brothers, Van Damme and Sabu, Hayabusa, and who's that guy with all the tattoos on him? Hayabusa teamed up with him. Hakushi.
Yeah.
The BWO, Kai and Tai. I mean, there's so many good fucking tag teams. Mikey Whipwreck and Cactus Jack. I mean, just so many. The Gangsters, Public Enemy. The Funks were there. Like, a lot of good tag. Oh, Furnace and LaFon. Not the Can-Am Connection. The Can-Am Express.
Yes.
Right. People, that was another good episode that we did, you and I. Yeah, a lot of fantastic tag teams, man. Triple Threat, any incarnation of Triple Threat. But anyway, I digress. Moving on. The Mexican death match. I really don't know what a Mexican death match is.
It's just a standard death match. First person to get pinned, has a 10 count to stand up. If they can't make it to the count of zero, apparently.
No. I know what a death match is, but why is it a Mexican death match? Because they're both from Mexico.
Because there's Mexicans in the match.
Okay, that's all. I just want a clarification. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the Dan Lopez slam of the night.
Oh. Where's my bell? The Dan Lopez slam of the night. The Filipino Mandingo, Rob Domingo, is in the chat room, thumbstickninjas.com, for all your gaming needs. And maybe Rob will talk sexy to you if you ask him nicely. Maybe he'll breathe heavy on a microphone for you. All right. The next match is the Mexican Death Match, the Dan Lopez slam of the night. Anyway.
Presented to you by Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. And never mind. Ray Ray fighting Psychosis. I just watched that match from One Night Stand last night. The first ECW pay-per-view on WWF in 2005. I love these guys when they fight, man. You want to get into this? You want to talk a little bit about this? I took the last match, kind of.
You can keep rolling, man. I'm still, so out of it right now.
All right, so Psychosis misses the opening charge, lands on his head. Ray hits a Dragon Conrana, gets a three, but it's a Mexican death match. Like Dave says, he has to answer the 10 count, which he does pretty easily. Ray takes Psychosis' legs out on the charge. Psychosis lands on his head again. Ray hits a Rana over the top rope and rearranges the guardrail.
Yeah.
He screws up whatever he had in his mind. He gets chaired by Psychosis. Back in the ring, Psychosis hits a missile dropkick and a moonsault for the three, but Ray answers the 10 count. Powerbomb from Psychosis gets a three, but Ray again beats a 10 count.
He consistently keeps getting up at one. So you would think that one would be the last, number.
Yep.
So they're waiting for the count of zero.
Right. So Psychosis does the exact same spot twice where he throws Ray into the buckles. Dragon attack from Psychosis gets a three. Ray beats the 10 count. Psychosis grabs a chair and hits a DDT on it. Moonsault with a chair gets a three, but Ray answers the 10 count.
Psychosis, man, would not stop
moonsaulting. He would not stop moonsaulting him. Psychosis goes after the knee with a dropkick, but a moonsault gets a chair in the knees. Springboard clothesline from Ray and a crossbody off the apron takes him right into the fans, into the second row. It's pretty cool. They love doing that spot. Perfect acai moonsault from the top rope into the crowd from Ray. They brawl in the crowd with chairs for a while, which I'm sure was thrilling if you were there, but you really can't see it because the camera wasn't on it. They fight onto the lower announced position. Ray hits another Conrana off the higher
Eagle's Nest.
Yeah, they didn't call it the Eagle's Nest yet, but up a bit. And that was 3 count for Ray, and Psychosis cannot get back into the ring because he's miles away.
He's miles away, and he's on the floor at zero.
Yeah, this match goes almost 15 minutes. That's
This was probably...
I think the Eliminators versus the Pitbulls was a little better, though.
Yeah, that was my favorite tag match of the night. I would say this is probably my second favorite singles match of the night. And I loved Mysterio coming to the ring with the ECFNW and AAA poncho to the ring.
Yeah, it was cool, right?
Yeah.
Your next match is for the ECW tag team titles, the unlikely team of Two Cold Scorpio and the Sandman.
Two Gold Scorpio.
Two Gold. That's right. Sorry. I stand corrected. Two Gold Scorpio. He was also the World Television Champion. Thank you for correcting me, Dave. With the lovely woman, rest in peace, versus the Public Enemy.
Rest in peace.
The
winner of this match, whoever gets the pinfall, gets a world title shot later on in the night.
Right.
Don't forget that.
You're right.
We have some WCW, late WCW rules getting thrown into the match.
So Grunge and Sandman start out with something that's predictably awful. Again, Public Enemy wasn't very sound in the ring, but they were fun to watch. The only wrestler that can wrestle in this match was Two Cold Scorpio.
Yeah, more or less.
Right? Everyone runs some top rope stuff until the Sandman falls and botches his bit. He always botches. Sandman always botches moves. Nobody ever gave a shit.
No, what was it? It's like he had that death match on Cactus Jack where he had the fucking concussion. He kept kicking out of the pinfalls.
he was half conscious and he kept kicking out.
Yeah.
Everyone grabs a chair and they run like the weakest like double chair duel in the history of ECW. Loads of brawling outside the ring. Grunge at this point is very juiced. Although nobody knows how, because Sandman getting squared with Mustard is more important than wrestling matches. They didn't show Johnny Grunge getting hit, but they showed they showed Sandman getting Mustard squirt in his eyes.
Well, what was it? There was like some like nachos or something on the ground.
Yeah, and I stand corrected. Rocco Rock actually can wrestle. He was a wrestler for a while. He was actually the Cheetah Kid.
Yeah.
He actually does like a dragging tilt the whirl move. Moves out of Sandman. Scorpio hits a sloppy splash for his.
Wait a second. You missed something.
What'd I miss?
You missed two gold Scorpio grabbing some dude's prosthetic hand.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
Beating Johnny Grunge with it. And then.
You're right. That's what juiced Johnny Grunge.
Yeah. Then he started, like, you know, simulating masturbating over.
Yes.
Over.
Okay. So,
Johnny Grunge with the prosthetic hand.
Right. So what you don't. Here's the thing. What had happened was the reason why Johnny Grunge got busted open was because two gold Scorpio, like Dave said, meant there's a when the wrestlers came out, there was two guardrails, right? And there was this one cop that was always there from the Philadelphia Police Department. This very tall, dark skinned. He looked Indian almost. He's there, and he was like a big state trooper looking dude, right? So he's standing there where he always stands where the wrestlers come out, because the guys get a little worried because he's fans of Rabid, right?
Yeah, he had the Billy Club with him.
Two gold, well, they all did, because, you know, those savages in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Two gold grabs this, like, Dave's his prosthetic and beats fucking Johnny Grunge with it. And the cop's face is the cop's face is class. I want to get a still of his face. Yeah, so I'm sorry about that. You're right.
We'll get it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll get it. You got to hit the cops. The cop's expression was hysterical.
Because the dude that had the prosthetic hand, like, it was very, like, he's not on screen for very long.
No.
It's very clear that this guy has, like, a wooden, like, arm. And Scorpio just grabs this dude. Like, he rips the hand off of the arm.
Right,
and then brings it into the ring and starts beating him with this prosthetic hand that looks like a wooden hand.
I totally forgot about that.
But just the fact that he's beating him with it and then like simulates like jerking off with it was just like the cherry on top.
Yeah, and Scorpio's getting a bit sloppy. He hits a crappy splash. Everyone starts brawling again. Ugly side slam from Scorpio, but Rocco Rock dodges that with a drop kick, and then a lion saw press. For Rocco Rock, he misses. Scorpio kicks him down. A double underhook powerbomb from Scorpio, which is pretty good. I like that. The double underhook powerbomb from Scorpio that just didn't look right, but it looked good enough to get it off. The backflip splash gets the knees, but Scorpio can't even sell that properly either. Like, Scorpio was a bit sloppy tonight. However, he gets the job.
Moments.
Yeah. Everyone in the ring is brawling again. On the outside, Sandman gets backdropped onto a table. The table doesn't break. Again, ECW did not pre-cut the tables. Remember that. They never could pre-cut the tables.
No, they were just like whatever was in the arena.
Whatever was in the bingo hall that night. Rocco Rock suplexes Scorpio over the ropes. Sandman does a gourd buster to Grunge through the table that also didn't break. Rocco sets him up on the remains and hits a slingshot somersault plancha. Back in the ring, Rocco hits a messy con rana on Sandman, but the pinfall is broken up by Scorpio's stick shot. Scorpio hits a moonsault on Rocco Rock for a two count. Spinning heel kick from Scorpio, and then for some reason he sells it like he's dead. I wrote that too. anyway, then PE miscues a they do a drive by and the Sandman falls on Grunge for the, they did their finisher, the drive by, but they miscue it. And Sandman.
Yeah, well, you know, what was it? It was Grunge holding up Scorpio, standing up. Usually the drive-by is like when the like the opponent's on the floor, on the mat. So he's holding him up, you know, screws that up. Sandman is like in a daze. He's being held up by the ropes. You know, Grunge is on the floor. Sandman collapses on top of him. 1, 2, 3. Sandman and two gold Scorpio retain the titles, and Sandman earns his shot against Mikey Whipwreck.
Against Mikey Whipwreck for the ECW Heavyweight Championship. The
first Grand Slam champion of ECW.
That's right. So hold on 1 second. I just want to do something real quick. So, yeah, dude, that was pretty funny. I mean, you know, a little sloppy, but, you know, it got the job done.
What can you expect from a Sandman match?
Yeah. Give me 1 second. Yeah. So,
we're not talking about a Nick Bockwinkle match. Come on.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Anyway, so now your next match, Dave mentions, Sandman gets title shot against the ECW Heavyweight Champion, Mikey Whipwreck. Mikey Whipwreck was the first Triple Crown winner of ECW.
Whoa. You're skipping a match.
Was I? Hold on.
Yeah.
Where's my mat? Hold on. Where's my card here? Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Axel Rotten against JT Smith. Right?
Nope.
Which one was that? What did I miss?
Bill Alfonso.
Oh, versus Todd Gordon.
The ECW commissioner, Todd Gordon.
That's right. Todd Gordon. Right.
With
okay.
Beulah McGillicuddy as a special guest ref.
Right. So Alfonso, the referee, is brought in by Shane Douglas to uphold the law. Gordon is the commissioner of ECW. We all know that. Who is opposed to Alfonso's constant upholding of the law that ECW simply doesn't have. They have a fight at ringside before the match even starts. Alfonso pushes Beulah over Gordon and fights back with rights. Of multiple rights. This is like pretty bad comedy, but it's pretty fun. Right?
This was, you know, when I was watching this match, I was like, damn, like Alfonso is just relentless with everybody, you
right.
know, he clotheslines like Beulah, and it's like he ripped her head off to that crowd. When he's attacking like Todd Gordon, he's like bitch slapping him and just like knocking him over the guardrail. It's like, whoa, you know, at this time, like if you didn't like a ref, you didn't like it. Just fucking hated this dude, and especially with Bill Alfonso, who's trying to bring rules into ECW of all places. You know, this was like he was like. I would say possibly like the top heel in the company in my mind at this point because, you know, he was the antithesis of what ECW was all about.
The antithesis.
Trying to bring rules, trying to enforce the state athletic laws in ECW. And, of course, with the rowdy fans of Philadelphia, they were not taking any of his bullshit. And, this is one of the things that, you know, works so well with ECW that, you know, a lot of other wrestling organizations didn't grasp. You know, they did so well with storylines that, you know, were kind of like they made things personal, whether it's between the actual wrestlers themselves or, you know, the personalities with the fans. And, you know, I think, you know, with Bill Alfonso, you know, coming to ECW, it wasn't just an attack on the wrestlers. It was an attack on the fans too, in a way.
Right.
And you know, he's just like one of these guys who, at this point, like everybody just wanted to see him get like his comeuppance, and not just like, you know, getting his ass kicked. They wanted to see this guy bleed.
Well, you know, it's funny because people forget that Bill Alfonso was a well-established referee for a long time. He did Florida, Mid-Atlantic.
WWF.
So this is like Bill Alfonso's first in-ring character persona, you know?
Yeah.
And the fans ate this up.
You know, for one thing, everybody knew who he was.
Yeah, and it would like
they had seen him in matches. They seen him, you know, referee matches.
And ECW fans will tell you when they don't like something. And they did. They started throwing crap into the ring.
Of course.
Alfonso gets juiced up. And then gets he's at a chair on a chair at ringside. Gordon hits a low blow. And then a frying pan shot. People who didn't know, there was a dollar store down a block from the arena. And people like me bought cookie sheets and frying pans. And security, Atlas security, collected them when you walked in. They put them in big buckets and big garbage pans, garbage pails, like big Rubbermaids. And whatever you brought in, they would use on the wrestlers would use. So when you saw Tommy Dreamer use like a Nintendo, somebody brought a Nintendo or a VCR.
Yeah, the VCR.
That's anyway. Yeah. So Beulah still bumped from early on. Taz, who was a referee earlier on the night, comes out and punks out Todd Gordon. And then he counts.
Which nobody saw coming.
Right. So Taz's heel turn now is Taz now Bill Alfonso. He counts for the pin at 6 minutes and 37 seconds. So there you go. But this sets up now Taz as with a major heel run with Bill Alfonso as his mouthpiece.
Yeah. And, you know, Taz got on the microphone. I was surprised that the network version of this event, you know, had all the cursing in it. You know, it had Taz, you know, saying, you know, fuck you fucking pieces of shit, all that. You know, he's going off on Sabu. He's going off on Terry Funk. He's going off on Tommy Dreamer, you know, establishing himself as a mega heel for that amount of time leading up into, I'm trying to think of when the change went from Alfonso to Sabu. I think it had to be like for either Barely Legal or whenever the rematch was.
I didn't watch the network one. Is JT Smith Dax Rotten on the network one?
No, that was a year later.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay. And because they fought this night too. I guess they didn't show it. I have it on my tape. And
actually, it was a year before, 94.
And Sabu fought Hack Myers, right?
Yeah.
That's on there? Okay, that's before the main event, though. Right? Do you have that as before the main event? Okay. So your next match now is for the heavyweight championship. Now, it's supposed to be Sandman, because he earned that win, against Mikey Whipwreck. But you hear this music as Sandman was coming out. That's right. That's right. You know whose music that was?
Superstar Billy Graham.
Well, yeah, it was. It was, actually, but this night it wasn't Superstar Billy Graham. It was Superstar Steve Austin.
Yeah.
All right. Steve Austin, who was just getting over his injury at this point, he was cutting promos. We all know the infamous Austin promo, him doing Eric Bischoff. It was pretty funny.
Steve-a-mania.
Steve-a-mania running wild, comes out of the dumpster. The best
Monday
part of
NyQuil.
Well, the best with Steve-a-mania is when he jumps out of the dumpster and he's talking to Joey Styles as Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
But Johnny Grunge is behind them going, Steve-a-mania! Yeah. That's like the... When you watch that, it was almost like he was trying to like throw Steve off his game, off his promo. Like that, it had to be like that because it didn't even stop him. He's like, Steve Amini is running wild, and he runs past him in the back. Fucking hysterical, I'm sorry. Anyway.
So this is your Monday NyQuil main event.
This is Monday NyQuil where the big boys play with each other. I'm joined by Bongo. Anyway.
I love the wig that he wore in that.
Oh,
promo.
The Bischoff wig? Yeah. Oh, and he had a blazer on with tights. He had no pants on.
Yeah.
Sandman comes out ready to face Mikey Whipwreck for the title, but he gets jumped by Superstar Steve Austin, hits him with a stun gun on a guardrail right where that prosthetic guy's hand was.
Yeah,
takes him out with a kendo stick. Damage Control, who were the two paramedics there, every time Damage Control came out, the fans would imitate a siren and go whoop whoop whoop. It was awesome. They had a whole Sandman's ass out of there. Austin's going to take on Mikey Whipwreck. So Austin gets on a mic. He bitches about Eric Bischoff, Hogan, and Flair. before jumping Mikey and beating the living shit out of him. Now, at this point, I thought that we were going to have a new heavyweight champion. So, he jumped him ahead of the bell. Austin says the future has arrived. The fans start chanting Hogan to piss Austin
off. Yeah, they were chanting Hogan.
So
he hits it with the big
he hits it with the big boot and a leg drop. And Mikey Whipwreck kicks out. What do you call it? And then he goes, "That lame ass crap ain't gonna get it done here, Joey."
Yeah.
Mikey takes over on the floor. Austin begs off the claiming a bad elbow. Mikey, of course, ignores it and stomps the shit out of him. Austin reverses it into a stun gun for another two. And, like, honestly, first watching this, you think he's winning it with the stun gun in the ring.
Yeah.
But no. Out of nowhere, again, Mikey Whipwreck with the sunset flip and then a huge pull on the tights.
He almost pulled the fucking tights right off.
Yeah, his big ass come out with the untanned ass. And that was 4.5 minutes, man. That was 4.5 minutes of fun. And then I just love Steve Austin's music. I'm sorry.
Well, this was really, I would say this is the real precursor to Stone Cold.
Of course.
Because he just went off. Like, there was no filter on this guy. And
that's right.
It was just amazing to see this go down in ECW way before, Stone Cold, came to fruition at, King of the Ring.
Yep. But if it wasn't for this, you would not have Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Nah.
Ever. This was like Dave said, is the precursor. Okay, so the matches go on, man. This is a stack card.
Yeah.
Your next match was the returning Sabu taking on the ECW Shah, Hack Myers. On a side note, 2 days ago, Hack Myers had brain surgery down in Maryland.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So we hope he's doing all right. I like Hack Myers.
So he was, the guy never won a match, but he was so over with the crowd.
Oh, no, I saw him win a match. He fought JT Smith.
Then okay, so he beat the Black Italian, all right.
Well, yeah, well, the reason I was there the night JT Smith got his new identity. He fought the Shaw when I was there, and JT Smith went to jump, do a plunge or whatever it was, over the top rope into Hack Myers, was outside already. But yeah. His foot caught the top rope, and he just went flat down, and he hit his head, like, right on the concrete. There's no match.
Did you do that twice?
No. Well, the
other time I was thinking Mike Austin did the suicide dive and, like,
well, that's what it was, a suicide
crushed his spine.
Well, it was a suicide dive, but he got his foot caught in the rope. Instead, he didn't clear the rope. He jumped, and he got his foot caught in his head, and he could take the head this big fucking knot in his head. And they took him to the hospital, and they played it off like he was concussed, but they played it off like he was he lost his identity. So that's how I was there the night JT Smith lost his identity. He came back as an Italian.
Yeah.
So anyway, the returning Sabu against the Shah, the ECW Shah, Hack Myers. I guess Hack Myers be compared to Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I guess you kind of put it like that.
Sabu misses the single leg, gets it the second time. An early DDT from Sabu. He spills outside the ring for a chair. Springboard leaping sidekick, and then another with a chair. crowd starts chanting boring. Sabu hits another springboard sidekick. Goes for a flip, which he botches. Sabu botched a lot, but because of his popularity, nobody gave a shit.
Yeah, nobody cared.
Right.
Like I said, it wasn't until like WCW where it was like, whoa, this guy like
right,
isn't
right.
That great.
Exactly. Where was I? He botches it. The Shah hits a power slam for a two count. A Russian double knee from Hack Myers, and he pulls Sabu into the ropes before pinning him. No, he went to pin him. He saved himself from the pin, which was kind of dumb, but it was like a botched pin. He wasn't supposed to pin him.
Yeah.
But he actually won the match at that point, but they swiftly kind of brushed it away. Guillotine leg drop from Sabu. Again, he hurt himself. Off the shoulder swinging DDT from Sabu. Gets a two count. Hack Myers bails out, but Sabu leaps over the ropes into a less than perfect Conrana. Really, I say less than perfect because it was kind of, it looked like it was kind of rushed. And of course, Air Sabu against the guardrail. Back inside, Sabu goes for another leaping Conrana and gets powerbombed for a two count, which I thought Hack was going to win the match at that point because that powerbomb was deep. He caught him good. That was really good timing on Hack Myers' part. Yeah. Suplex from Hack Myers, but Sabu cuts him off onto the ropes and hits a victory roll from the top for the two. Sabu gets crotched on the ropes and then a chair shot sending him crashing down on his head, which I think was a really good spot, but it looked really bad, but it was a fun spot to watch.
Yeah.
Guillotine leg drop from the Shaw. He goes for the double knee again for the finish, but gets dragged into a chair face first. Sabu hits a Rana over the ropes. Sabu sets up the Shaw on the table and then hits a painful-looking dive onto him over the top rope. Shaw drags himself and gets pinned for the two. For a two count, and then of course Sabu finishes him off with a Arabian face buster.
Atomic
Arabian face buster. I'm sorry. People call it the somersault, but this, you know, whatever it is. At 12:55, wasn't a bad match. A bunch of missed spots, but you know you're not gonna get Jerry Lynn out of that, you know.
Yeah, this wasn't the Nick Bockwinkel Larry Zbysko match of the night.
Exactly.
The AWA classic.
Rest in peace, Nick. Your main event of this was the, and that wasn't even, I thought the Steve Austin should have been main event, but either way, that was not.
They would know, you know, I thought it was interesting that they would have like around this time, 94, 93, they would have like the title match like in the middle of the card, right?
They always did that same way they did in the house shows in the Garden. I think this was just to get, you know, I think ECW emphasized the feud. A lot of the title matches really weren't long, dragged out. When I went to a lot of the shows, Dreamer and Raven headlined a lot because they were involved in a lengthy feud.
Yeah.
Or Taz was involved in a main event, or Shane Douglas, or it wasn't always for the title, you know?
It was just whatever was like the hottest thing.
Right, Public Enemy and the Gangsters, like Gangsters Paradise. I mean, that kind of shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I mentioned
The actual draw for the event was, that was the main event.
Right. I mentioned last week that Cactus had just came from Japan and WCW, and he was trying to get away from the hardcore gimmick. Came back as a heel, took on Raven as his mentor, tried to fight Tommy Dreamer in a technical match. Didn't last very long, though, as Funk and Raven got involved, setting up this main event tonight. Terry Funk and Tommy Dreamer versus Cactus Jack and Raven. Cactus Jack was amazing at this time. His promos were amazing. I mentioned it last week on the show. He was just spot on, dude. Anything he did at this point was spot on. Telling people
he was pretty good at like pissing off the fans at this point too.
The fans hated it, but when his music hit though, they popped.
Yeah,
when he came in the ring, they booed him.
Born to be Wild.
Yeah, Stephen Wolf. I played that last week, and then he would tell fans like to watch TBS for guys who like movies. Remember that promo? So he was telling people that. I played the promo last week on Throwbacks. So this sets up a really good tag team match. Of course, they start out brawling on the floor. Raven gets back inside, only to get dinged in the back of the head by Terry Funk with a chair. Terry Funk is reckless at his old age.
Yeah.
No regard. Stevie Richards shows up while Funk empties a trash can in the ring. Richards goes for a ride in the shopping cart.
Yeah.
Dreamer belts Raven in the head with a VCR, like I said before. Funk works Cactus over with a snow shovel. These are all tools of a trade, because we all brought that shit with us. One of my friends brought a skateboard. They used a skateboard one night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Funk beats poor Jim Molyneux, by the way, in this match. Funk beats up Jim Molyneux with a dustpan. Funk whacks Raven in a groin with a golf club. Like, legit, took a fucking golf swing on him. Let's see. Raven chokes Funk with a tata seat, if you will. Dreamer gets clotheslined with a chain and a bloody face. Raven celebrates that with his arms out. DDT on Dreamer, but the referee is out at this point from the shovel. Cactus slices up Funk's arm with a fork and then busts his head open with another shot. So now everybody's bleeding at this point. Raven DDTs Dreamer again. Tommy avoids a second chain clothesline and DDTs Raven. Cactus takes off his shirt to reveal an Eric Bischoff shirt with the Forgive Me Uncle Eric on the back of it.
Yes. he was wearing the Dungeon of Doom shirt.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
It had Shark, Kamala, and Zodiac smiling. And then on the back it said Dungeon of Doom inside of a heart.
That's right. That's
I guess
right.
The same airbrush artist who did the Flock of Seagulls shirt did this one too.
Winger! Hope you got a deal on that. Love that fucking promo. And then Cactus hits his infamous double arm DDT onto a chair on Funk. Like I said, everyone's juiced at this point. Raven hits a dive onto Dreamer. Funk is down and not moving, so Cactus makes a count of three himself. But again, there's no official, so it doesn't count. Here comes Bill Alfonso and Taz to ringside. Alfonso counts two on Funk and then boots him, and so does Taz. Dreamer gets in Taz's face, and Raven knocks him down. Alfonso and Taz leave. Dreamer hits a leaping DDT on Raven and another standard DDT. The ref is back up. Dreamer then pile drives Raven on a chair. Funk pins him, and it's over.
And I want to put some emphasis on Terry Funk getting the pin, because at this point, for the longest time, Tommy Dreamer did not get any pinfall victories on Raven.
Oh, no. It took 2 years, actually. I think it was 2 years or 3 years. 2 or 3 years before he actually pinned Raven.
Yeah. Every other time, if Dreamer, you know, if he won a match that involved Raven, somebody else got the pin. If Dreamer's team lost, it was usually Raven getting the pin on Dreamer. So, like you said, you know, they dragged this out, and that was like when it finally happened, it was a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that was November to Remember, 1995.
Yeah,
I loved it. I love ECW, man. I'm sorry. Even the
bad ones. Man. You know, for a good while, it just kind of like, for me, I just got like tired of it. I couldn't, you know, watch some of these things because it was just kind of, you know, like, especially once it was like said and done and, you know, the one night stands were coming around. You know, those were fun, but it was just kind of like overkill for a good while. So, you know, it was fun watching this one. Like when I was watching it over the last couple nights, stretching it out, and I was just like, damn, this is so good. How, like, you know, just like forgot about all this stuff.
Yeah. So we haven't decided. I know next week is a holiday weekend, so we can actually take the week off if you want.
Mm-hmm.
If not, we could record on Friday, or we could do it Friday in like Friday afternoon or morning or whatever, and put it on at night. Maybe we should just take off because it's Thanksgiving weekend. I don't even know. It's up to you, actually. That's just whatever you want to do.
We'll figure it out.
Maybe I'll do something and throw it up there. I don't know.
We'll talk on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll talk on Sunday. But either way, you'll have something next week. I'm not sure what it is yet because we haven't decided. I know there's a lot going on here on next weekend, so I think I might not come on, but it depends on. Maybe we'll record something. I don't know. Maybe we'll do something on Sunday and record it and put it out there for everybody, if everybody gets here early enough. With that being said, though, Dave, welcome back.
And, thanks, sir.
I guess, well, we'll talk to everybody on Sunday, but we hope you all have a great holiday. I know I'm off, so I'm pretty happy about that. Are you off? Are you working Thanksgiving, or are you off?
I'm off for Thanksgiving. I'm off on Black Friday. I'm taking a vacation the following week.
Okay.
So I'm going to be, hopefully I'll be well rested very soon.
Yeah. All right. Surfer says fun show time. I don't know about that. We'll figure something out. It just depends on what's going on. Maybe we'll do a show. If not, we'll figure it out. Either way, you'll get some kind of content from us next week.
You'll be hearing from us very soon.
That's right. So let's get into some. Let's wrap up the show, huh? Shall we?
Yes.
All right. Thanks everybody in the chat room tonight, man. Holding it down. Chat room's been down lately. Like, with not a lot of participation. Let's get that back up. Black Friday next week, like Dave mentioned. ProWrestlingTees.com is running a big sale. We'll put it on the Facebook page on Monday. And I hope you guys take advantage of that. If like 10 of you buy a shirt, legit, you could pay for the website for the next year. You know? We get a little bit of percentage of whatever it is. Okay?
Yep.
So go to ProWrestlingTees.com /turnbuckle/turnbuckle throwbacks. There's four different designs there. Of course, all our shows are back cataloged on TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, on RantEMRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. We're on Geek Life Radio every single Saturday evening, 9 p.m. here, 8 p.m. there. What else? You want to email us, TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, and we'll be on Periscope next Sunday. This Sunday for the pre-show. We can get everybody out there and record that shit. It should be crazy. I got a new phone, too, so I can mess around with that. What else? Facebook. Of course, we're on Facebook. And I think that's it with the plugs. Of course, TalkBrunch.com, ThumbstickNinjas.com. All of our friend shows are on the TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com for links. Go get all. Thumbstick Ninjas have a new show this week, I believe, too. So, and I know Talk Brunch has dropped there, so get all that stuff. Take care of that. Have the Star Wars retrospective just completed. Get that on geeksintheindustry.com, and Chunky Larry and all those guys have a bunch of programming on there, as well as the rant. And that's pretty much it. Dave, anything else?
No, man. I'm ready to head off into the sunset or whatever the fuck's going on.
We'll see you guys on Sunday for the pre-show. Bidding you guys adieu, as always. Take care of yourselves, each other. Don't get the clap. Don't get arrested. Hug your mom. Be kind to animals. Don't say the N-word. And again, respect each other, man. Please. Just take care of it. Take care of
you. If you're going to say the N-word, say it to a very good black friend of yours.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.